Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome back to Christ in All Things. I'm Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Schockman.
And we are back here with, for part two, with Tom and Bernita Krenzke. And I think we went a little bit over in part one because both of us were so fascinated in your story of, you know, in getting into the Bible translation and the homestead. And it's one of the reasons we do this.
I know. It's amazing. And then to make the connection as you're telling the story about working with Lutheran Bible translators and going to Liberia. And one of my classmates from my college days was one of the kids of the people that you worked with and even lived with for a time. We made that connection off air. So I'm just sitting back fascinated with all of this. But the reason we wanted to sit and talk with you was actually to talk about
your marriage.
Your marriage.
And I'm looking across the table at Tom. It's too bad we don't have video, but Tom, the librarian, shows up with a pile of papers before him.
He's a researcher.
to look through. So what's the next thing in prayer? I think we asked you first, but maybe Bernita, we should direct this towards you first of all. Is what's the next, you would say, most significant thing that kind of formed your marriage?
I think we said the first thing was having Christ as the center. The three strands are unbroken. Yeah. I think, too, that for me, my parents were an example of a Christian marriage. So I had that example with the security of a loving family. I also think a couple other things. With our work with Lutheran Bible translators and then being overseas, we weren't close to family. We had to rely on each other. And that was, I think, a strengthening thing. It was the two of us a lot of times, traveling, raising support, being overseas. Also in our training, and this is something we have gone back to a lot, in our training to go overseas as missionaries, we did a lot of cross-cultural studies. And some of those studies also pertain to marriage. And we had one favorite professor there. He had, and I won't remember all of these, but some of the differences in culture, like time versus event, detail versus whole picture. Now, Tom and I always go back to that in our marriage, detail versus whole picture.
And he's the detail guy.
Oh, yeah.
Early childhood is the whole picture.
And we've been very blessed because he's detailed. Yeah. And some of the other cross-cultural pictures that we had there, or the cross-cultural things, also fed into marriage, because when you're forming your own family, you're coming from two distinct backgrounds, families, as close as they may be, even if you grew up in the same area and have those things in common, it's still very different. You have different customs, different ways of thinking about things. And so that was a positive, too, that we had that training in cross-cultural thing and then could apply that to our marriage.
You had a cross-cultural marriage.
Yes.
True.
That's true.
Yeah, and the fact that Bernita was a homestead family, to me, was like God's providing, because you were not, let's say, had a very smooth, or everything was not so easy. But even being on a farm, there's a lot of talents and hard work that you were doing. So living in our house was constructed of poles, plastered with clay, and then we had a cement covering on it and a cement floor with a corrugated roof. We pumped our own water up to a little water tower, and
yep.
we did have some running water, and we had some 12-volt battery with a solar panel.
And because you married a homestead girl, she really didn't blink an eye.
It was actually comfortable, we were thankful for that. But the common goals that were sharing, we wanted God's word to be reaching people who, as God was enabling us, because we knew that everything that we were doing was being supplied by the prayers and support of others, and it was only through God's getting us to Liberia and then giving us a chance to be advisor to two translators, the health that he provided and his strength. We had a book with us that was called Where There Is No Doctor, and it was very helpful. Bernita actually ministered to people there with just preventing infections, some, Band-Aids, other things that actually did greatly help. Anyway, I don't want to get off topic again, but having a common goal that we had in serving God and serving people, those especially that did not know him, I think was a great something that we shared in common.
We also had time on furlough one time to go, just the two of us, to a, I forget what the name of it was, but it was for missionary couples. And I think that was a blessing to us too, because you get to understand some of the stresses you're under. And I think we did a lot of, before we were married too, we read a lot of books, The Joy of Marriage, and there's just a lot out there. The Five Languages of Love is another good one.
The Gary Chapman book.
Yes. Yeah, and absolutely. So all of those resources, as you can apply them to your marriage, can only enhance or help. So.
Yeah. I want to come back. We really probably do need to kind of have you come back and talk about
yes
about Bible translation. I want to say let's not go afield, because it's not, because clearly the knowing Christ and his word and having a love for that is at the center of who you both are, and clearly who you are
as a married couple.
And for those of our listeners out there who might not kind of grasp their work, your work in Liberia was to help people who didn't have the word of God in their own native language to get that translated into their language so they could hear it. It's one of the beauties of Christianity from the get-go, because it begins with translation and proclamation. And we'll have to have you back and talk more about what the church in the U.S. and even our congregation can learn from the experiences you had in Bible translation. Let's leave that out there that we will promise one another that we'll have that conversation. So help us God.
Another time.
What are some of the other things that come up for you two, and things that have formed you as a couple?
I think that the sharing our common faith through devotions, prayers together, attending worship, growing in faith, simply having the day start with Luther's morning prayer and end with Luther's evening prayer, understanding his purpose for marriage, which includes practicing confession and forgiveness, mutual serving, sharing burdens and joys. All of these, I think, are ways that we encourage each other.
How do you two do your family devotions, and is this different now than it was when your kids were under roof? I'd be curious. So how did you do your family devotions when your kids were under roof, and is it different than what you do now? As
I think it's pretty much the same. It was usually after the evening meal, and then we had, when the kids were there, it was more geared towards their level, Bible story.
Little visits with God, more little visits with God, and some of the hymns that were in the, oh man, I can't remember the name of the.
The children's hymnal?
Yeah,
children's. All God's People Sing or something like that?
It could be, yeah, I can't remember. We still have a copy of it. But.
Yeah.
And then we would end with prayer, yeah.
Luther's evening prayer.
Not yeah, always, sometimes, but we would share prayer concerns and then
sure.
yeah. we pray each together. Would pray together yeah. or silently.
And you do the same thing now, just the kids aren't there.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And this is interesting. We have a book. I think we bought it at one of the seminaries. It's Martin Luther's quotations from a lot of Luther's writings, and it's broken into devotions. I don't know if you have a copy.
Okay. I think it's up there.
Okay. I forget even the title of it, but we also are really blessed through our own private devotions, too. Both of us are getting the Lutheran Hours daily devotion, which is really a blessing. And then listening to the Lutheran Hour, too. And a special blessing of those Lutheran Hour daily devotions is they ask questions at the end. Like, good questions.
Yeah.
One of them I'm still thinking about, are you happy with the choices that you have made in life up till now? And based on the scripture reading that for that day. And others about, why was I born? And other, you know, what am I doing here, basically? Which is the question, you know, is an ultimate question. I want to add, too, about sharing burdens and joys, because to me, I think that's a great blessing of marriage. And we have, and the fact that we have had opportunity to meet different people in different settings, one of the pastors we had shared this little list, and I wrote, I had copied it down from that sermon, some of the joys, who God is, his forgiveness, being his baptized child, his answers to prayer, his word, spreading his gospel, knowing heaven is our home, and sharing fellowship with fellow believers. So when we, you know, keep reminding ourselves, these are some of the joys that we have together, that helps in our marriage as well.
How would you add to that, Bernita?
I think communication is key in so many different areas of marriage, the willingness to communicate and to listen and to understand. Somebody gave me a picture once. Your spouse can't fill your needs if his gas tank is empty. You know, the picture of filling up the car with a gas tank. And so you have to realize that you have to be aware and communicate needs of each other, and we all have good days and bad days, and forgiveness is definitely a big part of all that.
I would like to add, recognizing each other's strengths and weaknesses, accepting that we're, you know,
different.
We're not perfect. We're not perfect. I have to share these five distilled drops that we heard from a pastor in Nebraska. And Bernita and I really like these. There is a God, and he's not you. Number two.
I love that one. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You think that's really easy. It's not.
Yeah. The second one. The one who made the universe makes the rules. Number three. Good works have nothing to do with salvation, but everything to do with the reason you are here. Number four, because of the love of Christ, to be right in the wrong way is to be wrong. And then number five, it's possible to be conservative in one's theology without being conservative in one's mentality toward others. And some of those things
those
that we
lot.
Have... encountered at different times in different places. I have to add one more comment here, and that is Luther wrote to his barber about a simple way to pray. And the fact that you can use scripture as a springboard for praying, God's word as a springboard, the instruction within a verse, the thanksgiving, the confession, and the need or supplication that can, you know, be in that verse, that has been a help to us in our marriage too.
We were literally just an hour ago talking about the other member of our congregation with the other 100-year-old member of our congregation about that very thing. That's at 101, Ruth Polcha.
Right.
That's so how she prays.
Using scripture as a springboard, yes.
Just basically scripture in Luther's simple way to pray.
We asked her, how do you do your devotions now? She says, well, I get out the Bible and read.
Okay, that's good.
Yes. Okay.
And for our listeners out there, you know, we don't know when, you know, we're recording this on the 7th day of August in the year of our Lord, 2025, when this episode will be published. We don't yet know yet. We have on the schedule to interview your mother, Bernice Brown, who is 102.
Lord willing, in October. Yeah, she'd be 102.
Right. She'll be 102 in October. And
that'll be the third 100-year-old person we've interviewed
from our congregation. Yeah. Wow. One of the others. What a joy. The others with the Lord now. But yeah, that's has its joys and challenges, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, that's true. Yeah. We feel we're part of that sandwich generation. We have two married daughters and seven grandchildren we are blessed with, and then my mom is the last survivor of our parents. And so caregiving hers is a part of a calling right now. Yes, yep. for both of us are sharing in that.
Bernine, are your parents living?
No. Mm-mm.
And they died some time ago?
My father died unexpectedly, probably 28, almost 30 years ago.
Okay.
1997. Mm-hmm. And my mother passed away 2 years ago.
Okay.
She was in her 90s.
Yeah. Was out in Idaho?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you still have family?
I do have family. I have one sister here in Madison, and the rest are out in Idaho.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that has it. Well, for what it's worth, Tom and Bernita, you know, when we go to visit your mother, your mother-in-law, she loves that she gets picked up for brunch on Sunday.
Yep.
We do pick her up. Right.
Yes. Yep.
She really does. Yeah. And that's
highlight of her week.
Certainly. Yeah. It's a great thing. What else is on your list? I'm curious.
Oh, as far as little notes I had made, you know, I think I've got almost covered all of these here. We have our calling as a husband or as a wife, a father, as a grandfather, right now as a caregiver. I think, you know, recognizing that these are opportunities that God gives us, and we ask Him to enable us, you know, to serve, and then sharing those burdens and joys. I think that really is about all the notes that I made. All I do, I did bring along some other 3x5 cards with different quotations.
Okay,
but let me share this one.
If you can't tell, Tom, after he left Lutheran Bible Translators, ended up working as what was your position in the library?
I was an academic or a reference librarian, right?
Reference librarian at Concordia University, Nebraska.
At CUNE. Yep.
Yeah, I was at CUNE. I was also, previous to CUNE, I was at CUW.
Okay.
Concordia University, I
began there for 7 years. Here's a beautiful quote. I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else.
Mm. Who said that?
C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory.
I thought that sounded familiar.
So, yeah, those are about most of the notes that I have here. I hope you don't mind that I shared all these.
I want to tell a quick story because I don't. It's this thing that I'm going to share. It is such a normal every week thing for you that I don't think you know the impact that it has. So every Sunday, you sit in church, or Saturday night you come to church, and you come to the Lord's Supper, and you kneel next to each other. And Bernita, usually with your left hand, you reach out to receive the Lord's Supper. And Tom, with your right hand, you reach out to receive the Lord's Supper. Because Tom, in your left hand is Bernita's right hand.
At the table.
At the mm-hmm. table, as they kneel before the Lord. That's not something that happens a lot. I think in my lifetime as a pastor, I've seen two couples do it, and you're one. That speaks to, from the pastor who feeds you the Lord's Supper, that speaks to the, for me, the in-the-moment present, that you are there together as you're receiving Christ, as you are aware, as you kneel before the Lord, that you are both in need of that forgiveness, and you are encouraging one another as you hold one another up, or rather in place, to receive him. I don't know how intentional that is for you, but every week that I come past to deliver the Lord's body to you in this bread that Christ promises is himself, I'm struck by that.
And we don't mean to make you self-conscious
at all,
mm-hmm. Although we probably just have.
Sorry,
but we do mean to say we're super thankful for you, and the witness in your own little way that brings,
whether you're aware of it or not. Mm. And for you guys, I don't know. For you guys, that may simply be this is what we've always done. This is just how we come to the before the Lord together as husband and wife. I don't know what motivates that. I don't know mm-hmm. what practice began that. And I kind of want to ask that is how did that start? But before you answer, whether you're aware of it or not, it speaks volumes. And I'm so thankful to see it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, so how did that start?
And I have a question for Bernita, but answer that.
Well, first we say thanks be to God, because if it weren't for his grace, I would not even be here today. So I'm going to go back to that little story I shared about first grade, you know, hearing the good news of Jesus Christ, his life and his forgiveness it is by his grace that we are here and that we have each other and have the love that we have. And as far as how it started, I don't even think I can remember when we started
either.
That.
I just always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It is so stinking cute.
So, Bernita, as you were talking earlier, I knew the minute that you said you grew up on a homestead, I thought, that's the Lord preparing this woman to go on the mission field.
Yeah, absolutely.
The minute you said it, I thought that was amazing. You two have been married now for how many years? 46 years.
I always turn to Tom because he remembers.
details. Remember details. Tom's got the details.
So I want to ask you not a detailed, but a big, I hope it's a big picture question. You're meeting with a young woman, in young Christian couple. What would be the number one piece of advice you would give to a young woman entering marriage? Of what it takes to have a successful marriage.
Oh, the number one. Well, I think the number one is submit to the Lord. If Christ is the center of your marriage. But always be grateful for the spouse the Lord has given you and look to their their not just needs, but goals that you have in life. And you want to learn as much as you can about that other person, because it's fascinating, actually, the way another person thinks that you have never thought of in that way. It kind of opens your eyes. So that's a hard question. I mean,
marriage is discipleship.
It is
learning.
It's beautiful and it's challenging. And when it's challenging, you have to dig deep to days when you feel love, it's easy. And some days you have to dig deep to remember how you feel. But that goes both ways. Yeah. And so commitment to a marriage, and then also the forgiveness. Yeah.
And to learning, I think that you were saying about learning about each other. One of the things, I hope you don't mind if I share this, that you shared with me, that in your geography class at college level, you said, when you were studying Africa, you said, I don't think I'm ever going to be going to Africa, or I don't want to go to Africa.
And then you lived there for like 8 years.
Well, I learned that God has a sense of humor, because I can picture it in the car. We had a big station wagon with 7 kids waiting for my dad, probably. And my mom said something about she always wanted to be a missionary. And I said, I never want to be a missionary. And then I took this class in college. I took it only because it fit the schedule. It was Geography Africa. And I said, I never want to go to Africa. It's right where the Lord calls you.
Yeah. Always for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Do we have time for me to ask Tom the same question, or are we out of time?
Well, if he gives us a detailed answer,
okay.
All right, you get the question, but you have to be succinct in reply. How would you answer that question? What, you know, if you're talking with a young man entering Christian marriage, what's the number one thing for a successful Christian marriage?
And when you say Christian, you know, already the faith is in common. I would say not only a common faith, but common goals that maybe you're working together to accomplish, because two can accomplish more than one. And the other thing, though, along with having common goals, is sometimes it's compromise. So one of you may have a certain way, or not a certain way, but let's say a certain goal, and you may not necessarily have the same goal, but there could be a way to somehow meet in the middle, or do that goal, but also do another goal that you want to do too. So I think compromise is important in marriage.
I wouldn't argue with that.
And with that, we should, I heard Bernita take a breath like she was going to say something.
No, I'm fine.
She's done compromising for now.
She's done compromising for
now. No, I agree totally.
Yeah. So, Tom, Bernita, thank you so much for spending some time with us here on Christ in All Things. We really appreciate it and look forward to years of serving you with the gospel.
So help
thanks
us.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. We'll see you next time on Christ in All Things.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit christinallthings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@christinallthings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift,
but it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at christinallthings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straw
for the useful but perhaps pretentious beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping and a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping and an elegant Christ in All Things leather folio handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want, and we'll record Christ in All Things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.